We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode.
Okay, so last week, if you listened, or even if you didn't listen and you'd like to go back, we shared a post. Well, we spoke about a post that Ellie shared in her Facebook feed. Sure. And basically, she was posing a question to her followers. And the question was this: if you could go back in time and tell your younger self something that could have really helped you in your late teens and 20s, what would it be? And so last week, Ellie shared what she would love to have known herself in her 20s. So if you've not had a chance to listen to that yet, it was such a great conversation. I encourage you to go back and have a listen. And today we wanted to actually share with you fabulous insights from Ellie's followers and some of the things they shared.
Yeah, because it was great. I love when people, it obviously triggered something for people, right? Because quite a few women jumped on here and had something to add that they wished they had have known. So I think this is a great conversation to have. It excites
me. Yeah. So do you want to kick us off, Al? What are some
sure.
of the...
Sure.
What's one that jumped out at you?
So right at the top, and it sort of, there was a few people who kind of touched on this, but they talked about finishing what you start, or finishing school, finishing that study, because while there might be reasons that it doesn't feel right to do it at the time, down the track you wish you had. You wish you could have gone back and finished it. So that's a really just a great place to start. Finish what you start.
And that's a tricky one because, sorry, just jumping in there, it's a tricky one because sometimes we might start something and then partway in we start to wonder, you know, is this a right fit? And was you know, it's like, was this decision a good one? Now, when it comes to school, I mean, absolutely, 100% finish.
Finish what you start, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're in studies, because I think somebody else further down said something about even studying after school, if you, you know, if you it seems like studies. It's a hassle, because doing it in your 40s might be a little bit more tricky.
And you know what? Absolutely. I finished mine. I couldn't finish it at the time. Well, couldn't's not the right word. But it was very, very difficult for me to finish it at the time. But let's say in my 30s with five children, probably more difficult.
Absolutely. And, you know, me for myself, you know, studying medicine, there were many times where I wondered, should I, you know, finish or not? And finishing has been such a gift, even though I know years later that perhaps if I could go back and start again, I would have chosen something else to study, because as it turns out, it hasn't been the thing that has been my forever plan.
No.
And we'll get to that one in a minute.
Yes.
You don't need a forever plan.
No.
But I'm still so grateful that I finished, because even though it's not the space I work in now, it definitely has opened doors.
Yeah.
And even just knowing that you have what it takes to finish.
Yeah. There's so much power in that. And it comes up time and time again when you're struggling to do something, you can look back in your life and go, you know what? I finished my medical degree. I can do this, you know.
Yeah.
And often we need a reminder of that evidence.
Yeah, yeah. Love the other comment someone said was...
the forever plan.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so somebody said, after school, you don't need a forever plan. And man, the amount of pressure that young people, and you know what, us as adults put on our young people when we say things like, what do you want to do when you finish school?
Yeah.
That's a really big question. But we don't need to have a forever plan. Having a next step, however, is the key. And then once you do that next step, there will be another step. I think as parents, sometimes we're a bit worried of our kids if they don't have an idea of what they want to do when they finish school, because if they stop,
inertia,
and it does, and it has for some people taken over, and you know, and it's hard to move once we're standing still. However, having a next step, knowing what that can look like, taking that pressure off. And I love what you said, and having then the willingness to go, okay, well, maybe it's not for me, and an openness to maybe change it. Like, we don't have to necessarily, it might be we might finish a degree if we start a degree, but it might be very different in the end to what we started. You know, my husband started one degree and walked away with something completely different, and now works with a completely different qualification in a completely different industry.
Yeah. I mean, how many adults do you speak to now who actually work in the industry where, you know, of their degree? I mean, some do, but there's a whole lot that don't.
That's right.
And that's okay.
That is absolutely okay. And then the same, somebody else put something that we really, the older we get, we have more value and we place, I think, more value on it. But when we're teenagers, we think we're kind of invincible, and it's all around nutrition and exercise for our mindset. Our young people, if I could go back and say, hey, Al, look at what you're eating, that 50-cent cheeseburger is not meeting your needs. No wonder you're feeling the way you feel.
Yeah.
You know, it could be life-changing.
Yeah. But this is the challenge, because let's face it, as a teenager, or, you know, early 20s, who wants to be told what to do, right?
Oh, nobody. I don't want to be told what to do.
And the more we sort of say, hey, you know, like, watch what you eat or whatever, like, it's almost like the worse, you know, we want to rebel against that. And,
and the more we say,
watch this space, you know, I'm going to eat as I please. And so it is tricky. And I think part of this is it's, yes, what we wish we knew back then, but it's also the reality of being in that season as a young adult, how much we're willing to take on board the wisdom, you know?
That's right.
And how much easier it is in 20, 30, 40, however old you are, years on, to value the wisdom in what we wish we saw value in back then.
And so I wonder if it's just whether young people, do we just need to fumble our way through it? Do you know, like, I wonder what the key is to unlock so that we can have that ability to learn, even though if we're not ready in that season, we don't have the maturity, if we think we don't even need to know it. I wonder what it is that can help our young people maybe learn from us oldies who can have the benefit of hindsight and looking back.
Yeah, and I think there are certain topics that potentially are more of an issue. And we've touched on this before, maybe outside of this podcast, the whole, you know, how challenging it is to be in your 20s or, you know, late teens, early 20s now compared to when we were back then, because we didn't have such a thing called a smartphone, and we didn't have any idea of social media back then. And, you know, what kind of new challenges that's brought up. And I think most of us are very aware. If you're a parent, you're very aware of this. Certainly if you work in the coaching space, you're very aware of this. And that's the challenge of knowing our and understanding our value and our worth when we're faced with all the social media. So do we let people bumble their way through? Well, you know, certain things perhaps, but there are certain topics. I don't know. I'm happy for someone to challenge me on this. But I think, I mean, someone in your post, I need to find this, mentioned something about, oh, you are so much better and deserve so much more than you think. I like to think about that as, you are so much better and are worth so much more than you think.
Yeah.
And I think a good conversation to have is around, so you can say that to somebody. And like, if you're talking to a group of 19-year-olds and you say to them, you know what, you're so much, you know, you're worth so much more than you think. Potentially they can just look at you and zone out, or go, well, actually, you don't really understand. And that's not true, because social media, you know, tells me a completely different story.
Yeah.
And so how do we unpack that with these young adults?
It is a big task, because they really are met with, okay, well, the likes that they receive or the amount of views that they get, that's what feels like they've got value to some degree. But we know in life that has nothing to do with our value.
And that's, I think, a really good point. And I reckon that's a good starting point. So if our value or our worth is not tied in or related or linked in any way, shape or form to the likes I get on social media, then what does it mean? Like, where does my value and worth come from?
So maybe, yes, maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's not about trying to get this all through to our young people. Maybe it's just having that conversation.
Yeah. And even asking what they think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I've really enjoyed. And my big takeaway from working in the coaching space, I mean, I think I've shared, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, how I think when we were talking about confidence, the whole judgment-free space, you know, how valuable that is. But I think the other part of the coaching space I've found so valuable is shifting from being told something.
Yeah.
Like, so practicing medicine, we often would tell our patients things because that's the role, right? Yeah. You know, you're an expert, someone comes in and you prescribe and you say, look, you've got X, Y, Z. So this is what the literature says, you know, you need to do. And so I'm going to prescribe this and this and this, and you need to go and do X, Y, Z and take it this way or exercise this way. There's a lot of telling and, prescribing. And coaching is more about asking questions and drawing someone into, well, let's have a conversation about this. Let's talk about it. You know, like, so what do you think? And so I really love, that's what I've really also loved about the space. And I think getting down on the same level as our young people and having that conversation in a open, non-judging way, and at least even attempting to have the conversation.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. No, that's absolutely key. Love it. Thanks, Kath. That's sort of helping me to digest a little bit about, okay, how do we speak to our young people? How can we pass on this wisdom that we've learned over the years? Because we want to do it because we want to save them, some of the pain, perhaps. Yeah. We want them to really be all that they've been created to be. But part of that is also their own journey, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. But I think there's, you know, there's this, I'm sure you've heard the saying before that knowledge is power.
Yeah.
You know, wisdom is power too. And wisdom definitely comes from experience, life experience, and the learning and the wisdom we gain over the years and who we choose to listen to and not listen to. However, there is still value in knowledge. And so I think the knowledge part is certainly, so a conversation and imparting knowledge. That's what we can do. It's on the person we're speaking to, whether they want to receive or are willing to receive.
And what they do with it.
And what they do with it. Yeah, that's, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a few people who spoke about the need to sort of go out and travel before you sort of settle down, you know, leave perhaps your hometown, even if you've got no money. One lady was talking about the fact that she hopped in the car with absolutely no money, traveled a bit around Australia, wouldn't change it for the world. And there's something about having that sense of adventure and going out and exploring, because it helps us to really become who we are, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that was one of the comments I actually left in your feed. And something if I could go back and change something, that's definitely one thing I wish I could have done. Mm-hmm. I went straight from school into uni, and which is fine. And didn't sort of go traveling, and thought I would do it at some point, and then ended up doing it with kids in tow all those years later when I still didn't know who I was. Yeah. But for me, I think, absolutely the adventure part of it and the discovery. And I think it really allows you, when you take yourself away from others that know you, because I don't know. Well, for me, at least, this is my truth. But when I was around back then, when I was around people that knew me, I felt like there was an expectation to be a certain way, or people know that's who I am. So it kind of like my surroundings informed my identity in a way, but it wasn't, it was externally directed. It wasn't internally.
Mm-hmm.
Like internally, I still didn't know who on earth I was.
Yeah.
So I think part of the traveling part, and I'm so grateful that my kids have had the experience to leave home, to go to uni. Look, and understand we can't all have that experience, but at least I love that lady shared, you know, it's possible, even if you don't have anything, to just, you know, make it happen if you really want it to happen. Because I think it gives you the freedom to go and explore who you are and who you want to be without other people who really love you and know you and care for you telling you how they think you should be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all of the good intentions that comes with that, that it's
yeah.
great. And I think that's what's fun about my kids having grown up and left home.
Like
we still check in fairly regularly, but I love that they're getting to just kind of spread their wings without having to come home to mum. Although sometimes it's a really good thing if they have to come home to mum.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
we need to have that season. However, no, it's a really cool thing. So that was something else that quite a few people shared, that they really felt that there's great value in moving away from the hometown and exploring and going on adventures.
Yeah.
And other people sort of spoke quite a bit about friends and the realization that who you do life with at school isn't necessarily going to be your lifelong friends. Friends can change. Yeah.
And I that's think, okay.
And that's completely okay. And for some of us, that's a huge eye-opener, because you just assume that who you've been besties with all the way through, you're going to then be in each other's bridal parties, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is that way, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is for a season, and that's okay. It's absolutely okay. So there was quite a bit of talk around friends, actually, and even things to realize if you're the person that's constantly reaching out to a friend, checking in on them, initiating friendships and outings and things, then go, it's actually a two-way thing. Friendships two ways.
Yeah.
And maybe
absolutely. And I also loved the comment, and I think it was the same person who said, it's not about the number of friends.
Yeah.
You know, and even just one or two. And I really resonate with that, because that's, again, it's not about the number of likes on your, you know, and it's it and especially I think in moving, because we've moved and relocated quite often with the choices we've made in life, I've recognized that it only takes that one connection to really help you feel like you've got a place, you know, you found a place that you belong. Yeah. And I mean, it's lovely if you've got a whole network.
Yeah.
But even in your network, you've got closer friends, and you've got other friends that, you know, you don't have to sort of be besties with everyone.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. Somebody else shared to never stop learning. So here's what I thought. You grew up, you went and studied, and then you just did life. And at first I was like, oh, what? You've got to keep learning. That was kind of my attitude around learning. Now I realize, I get to keep learning.
Yes.
And there's this love of continually growing.
And I think, I think part of what comes is that, you know, at that point in your life when you've just got to the end of school, so much of your learning has kind of been dictated
forced on you.
And what a joy to get to this point in my life when we can, like, go, I think I'd like to learn how to publish a book, you know, or I think I'd like to learn how to host a podcast. So there's far more choice later on in life in using, you know, to learn in areas that completely do light you up from the inside and excite you.
Yeah, and I think it's important then to work out what that is and go after it.
Yeah.
Find out what does excite you, because that's probably the lane that's going to lead you to enjoying the best life you can. So
yeah.
One of my beautiful friends shared something, and I know that this resonated with you big time. And she said, don't be afraid of the things you've done in your life. And she said, face it, fix it, learn from it, move on. Everyone makes mistakes. And I just think, wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, looking back, I think when I was younger and that age, it almost felt like the end of my world if I messed up or you know, failed at something. And I was the first one to want to just shove it under the carpet. And over the years, you know, listening to the likes of Brené Brown, who has some brilliant stuff to share around the topic of shame, I didn't realize how much of, you know, when you try and hide your mistakes and things, or just shove it under the carpet or ignore them, that tends to build up this sort of shame on the inside of you. And you got the sense of, there's no ways I can be real and authentic, because if you knew what, you know, what I've really done. And yet, you know, that comment is so true. If you just bring it out into the open, you deal with it, you learn from it, you make changes, but you actually deal with it, then it's not in the cupboard anymore. And no. it doesn't, the shame just doesn't have a hold on you, you know, and you realize, well, actually, it's no big deal. It might have been a big deal, but it's actually in the big scheme of life. It's a lesson learned. So
it
I love
is
that
a lesson
one.
Learned
love
and,
yeah.
and become a better person because of it. So someone else said, you know what, just because you're having a bad day or a bad week doesn't mean you're having a bad life.
Love
you know,
that
we
one.
Do what's that word, catastrophize? No, what's it?
Yeah.
And you sort of, you know, over the top, my life is, you know, whatever. Maybe you're just having a bad day.
We generalize, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So that was really, really cool. And things like, you know, when you're having a really tough time, have different sort of goals. Make your bed, get out of bed, make your bed. Like, have goals that are for the season that you're in. Find success in that season. So that was really cool. I'm just seeing what else there was. Be teachable. Oh, I have to quickly talk about this. When my daughter was little, oh my goodness, we've got this image of my daughter in the car. My husband and I both remember it. And she's sitting in the back seat and Aaron's trying to teach her something. And she's got if she listens to this, she'll have a chuckle, both of her fingers in her ears, pulling this face, showing us that she's not listening. And we're just like, oh my goodness. But now, I mean, she's 20, turns 21 this year. She's incredibly teachable. Aaron and I were quite concerned when she was little. We're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? She's so not teachable. But it's one of the most beautiful traits to be teachable as an adult, to learn and grow and listen.
And I think one thing that helps, just as you sharing, I'm reminded that's helped me certainly to be more teachable, is to be in the practice of the space of being, taking the judgment away again.
Yeah.
Because if I can just let go of the self-judgment, then I'm way more open to being more teachable. Love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Very good. Another beautiful lady by the name of Kat. She said quite a few good things, so well done, Kath Wiseman. However, one thing that just really jumps out is you said choose to look for the positives in everything.
Yeah.
And something that I like to say is look to the possibilities, because often we can be pessimistic and we don't see the positives. We look at the impossibilities. And I love that you've made a point for us to look for the positives in everything that we do.
Yeah, and I think that's why I really enjoyed our conversation last week and what you were sharing about that exercise that you did as a family, because that's exactly what that was. It was a way to look at the positives. And I've heard people share, and I'm so grateful that they've shared this. I'm just thinking who they are, because they're like big public figures. I think one of them is Simon Sinek. Another one was another guy I used to follow in the early days of my business called Steve Kasanyenko. And I think another one is also Graham Cook, maybe. They're all these sort of people that I admire what they share. And they've shared things before, like, oh, I'm an unapologetic optimist. Like, I don't apologize for being an optimist. And because I think, you know, there is that sort of train of thought of like, oh, but that's just ridiculous. And that's just
positive thinking.
You know, being Pollyanna-ish and, you know, positive, you know, the positive psychology got a bad rap at a stage as well. But I think there's something to be said for realizing that each situation has more than one truth, and you can choose. Again, there's choice, and this is a choice we have to look at the positives. Yeah. And for me, I just realized I'm just the happier for it. So, you know, why wouldn't
I? Yes. Absolutely. And it helps us take the next step forward in life. So if we're looking to something positive, how much easier is it to keep taking steps than if we're seeing all the negatives? Oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
We're not going to go where we need to go. So I'm so thankful for this conversation. Thank you to all of the ladies who shared, and there was heaps more little pearls in there, but we're running out of time today. But I think it's really great to then go, okay, not just sit with that. Okay, if we wish that we'd known that as a teenager, maybe it's part of our job to now share this kind of stuff with as many teenagers as we can. And it's up to them, like we've already said, for them to listen or not. That's on them. But I think we've kind of got a duty, right, to share this.
Yeah, and even with yourself, if you've been listening to this and, you know, one or two of the comments really resonated with you, My encouragement is to spend a bit of time, you know, digesting that this week and just thinking about it, and then asking, you know, who in my world can I share this with?
Yeah, love it. I love that. I think it's important to share all that we can with anyone who wants to listen to us. So on that note, thank you to everybody who tunes in. I know we value your time. You could be listening to anybody, yet you find yourself listening to Kath and I as we talk all things real life for us. So thank you for joining with us on this journey. It's fabulous.
Yes, and I look forward to talking again next week. It's always such a highlight in my week, Elle, so thanks.
Absolutely is. All right, have a great week, eh?